This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
To proceed, inshallah, now we will go over the chapter on endowments, or Kitab al-Waqf, which is an important chapter in the fiqh of transactions. Imam ibn Qudamah rahimahullah ta'ala said in his book Al-Umda, Kitab al-Waqf, the book of endowments. He said, وَهُوَ تَحْبِيسُ الْأَصْلِ وَتَسْبِيلُ الثَّمَرَةِ. Waqf means retaining a property in trust and donating its yield or usufruct. Waqf means retaining a property in trust and donating its yield or usufruct. And waqf is, endowment is basically mashru', is prescribed, is mustahab, as recommended by consensus of the Muslim scholars. And they mention the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, إِذَا مَاتَ ابْنُ آدَمَ انْقَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ. When the son of Adam dies, his deeds will be interrupted except for three deeds. And one of them was صَدَقَ جَارِيَة, ongoing charity. They said that this includes waqf as well. The ongoing charity refers to waqf because waqf is an ongoing charity. The main property is retained in trust. It's not disposed of. It's retained in trust. But the yield or the usufruct of this property will be donated for a particular cause. They also say that when Umar radiallahu anhu had a piece of land that he said that I have never acquired anything that's more beloved to me than this. And then he went to the Prophet ﷺ and said to him that that I want to give it for the sake of Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ advised him to yuhabbis al-asl wa yusabbil al-thamara, to retain the asl, which is the property itself, and to donate the usufruct or the yield of it, الثمرة or the fruit, the usufruct, the yield of it, to donate it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Umar radiallahu anhu did. They also say that this was the sunnah of the Sahaba radiallahu alayhim. In fact, Jabir radiallahu anhu said, لم يكن أحد من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عنده مقدرة إلا وقف. No one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the ability to leave an endowment except that they made an endowment, or to make an endowment except that they made an endowment. And actually, the endowments of the Sahaba are still existent up until now, in Medina and in Mecca. And so much good has been, has resulted from the usufruct or the yield of the endowments of the Sahaba radhiyallahu alayhim. Waqf is certainly a brilliant concept, right? Because you're just so many times. It's the idea of sustainability. You know, for any good thing to be sustainable, you want to support it, long-term, without end, in order for it to be sustainable. So any good work, and that's something that we need to sort of realize here in America, that I always say, the hand-to-mouth sort of style of managing our organizations, by sort of periodic donations is not sustainable, really is not sustainable. You have to have proper endowments for our organizations, whether those organizations are masajid, schools, think tanks, anything. Oh, I see. Inshallah, there will be a Maghrib class at 10 p.m., Oh, I'm sorry, 10 a.m. No, you wrote 10 p.m. At 10 a.m. in the main hall. So inshallah, we'll try to finish in time. It will be about the last 10 surahs of the Quran. Everybody certainly is encouraged to attend, and we will try to finish, inshallah, before the class. So endowments, very important, you know, sustainability and everything. Then the Sheikh said, وَيَجُوزُ فِي كُلِّ عَيْنٍ يَجُوزُ بَيْعُهَا وَيُنْتَفَعُ بِهَا دَائِمًا مَعَ بَقَائِهَا وَلَا يَصِحُّ فِي غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِثْلِ الْأَثْمَانِ وَالْمَطْعُومَاتِ وَالرَّيَاحِينِ. This is permissible for any item whose sale is permissible and that can bring continuous benefits without perishing upon its usage. It would not be valid otherwise, such as in prices, foods, and perfumes. It would not be valid in prices, currency, you know, foods and perfumes. Because how do you make a waqf of, you know, food? The only way you benefit from it is to eat it. So it will perish. If you use it, it perishes. But you could make a waqf of real estate, and the rent will be spent on particular purpose or particular cause. Anyway, the conditions that need to be met for the waqf to be valid, the conditions that need to be met are six conditions. But the pillars of a waqf are four pillars. So al-waqif, that's the person who's making the endowment. Al-mawquf, that is the endowment itself, or the property that is being endowed. Al-mawquf alayhi, that is the beneficiary of the endowment. And as-sigha, that is the form of the modality or the form of making the endowment. And this could be verbal or nonverbal. Nonverbal, according to everybody except the Shafi'is. The Shafi'is said there is no nonverbal, it has to be verbal. But anyway, so the conditions that will apply here is that the condition that will apply to this one, al-waqif, which is the person making the endowment, he has to have the ahliya, which is to be authorized. Authorized. Meaning, you know, you cannot be a child and make a waqf. You cannot be insane and make a waqf. You have to be authorized to dispose of the property. You have to be the owner, the rightful owner, and you have to have the ahliya or the authorization to dispose of the property. Al-mawquf, the property that is being endowed, what are the conditions of the property that is being endowed? It has to be a sellable property, a property that can be sold. So, like dogs, you can't make a waqf of a dog. Also, they used to give the example of the mother of the child. You can't sell a mother of in terms of slaves, you can't sell her, so you can't make a waqf. You can't make her a waqf. And then so sellable is one. Designated is another one. Has to be designated. So you cannot say I retain in trust one of my houses. That doesn't work. It has to be designated. So sellable, something that you can sell, and designated. These are the two conditions that pertain to al-mawquf, which is the property to be endowed. Al-mawquf alayhi, the beneficiary of the trust, al-mawquf alayhi has to be, has to have the ahliya of ownership, has to have the capacity to own a property, the capacity to own a property, which means what? It means that you cannot make a waqf, you cannot make the angels, or Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. Well, some people can think of these ideas, and people can think of all kinds of ideas. So you can't make Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam a beneficiary of the waqf. And you can't make deceased persons beneficiaries of the waqf. You can't make deceased awliya, for instance, beneficiaries of your waqf. Also, in the Hanbali madhab, you can't make dogs or cats beneficiaries of your waqf, or other animals beneficiaries of your waqf. But there are, you know, some other positions where you could make a waqf and not make the dogs and cats beneficiaries of the waqf, but in Damascus, for instance, there were awqaf that were made for stray animals, you know, for the protection and the welfare of stray animals. That would include all kinds of stray animals. So the person, the al-mawquf alayhi, the authorized to own, the beneficiaries has to be authorized to own. And then as-sigha, we talked about this, it's either verbal or nonverbal, according to the Hanbalis. There is certainly the pleasing to Allah is the first one. So there is no waqf for ma'asiyah, pleasing to Allah. But pleasing to Allah, by the way, in the wide sort of sense, in the comprehensive sense of pleasing to Allah. So can you because you could make the beneficiaries of your waqf your kids. So pleasing to Allah does not necessarily mean that you have no self-interest in it. You could have some self-interest in the waqf. You could make an endowment for your kids. You could retain a property interest and make the usufruct, make your kids the beneficiaries of this, your descendants, through, you know, for until the day of judgment, the beneficiaries of this. So is this pleasing to Allah? Yes. You know, doing kindness to your kids is pleasing to Allah, for sure. So pleasing to Allah in that sense, not that you... also, can you make a waqf for yourself? Yeah, some scholars said you could make a waqf for yourself. It is the weaker position in the Hanbali madhab. The stronger position is that you can't make waqf and make yourself the beneficiary. But there are other madhab that allowed you to be the beneficiary of your own waqf. And there is a report in the Hanbali madhab also that would allow you to be the beneficiary of your own waqf. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah supported that position. You could make yourself a beneficiary of your waqf. So what's the benefit in this case? You don't trust yourself. Like if you don't trust yourself and you want to retain the property and only, you know, make use of the usufruct, make use of the rent or whatever, you have like a building, and you're afraid that you will sell it, you could put it in a trust, make yourself the beneficiary. You have no ability afterwards to sell it, but you could always make use of the usufruct or the yield or the rent of that building or that property. So it's a good thing for people who may not be particularly prudent with their finances. So these are all conditions to make a waqf valid. One condition that we did not mention, which is what the Sheikh just mentioned now, is that it is not perishable. Not perishable means that it can be utilized without perishing. It does not mean that it is sort of like everlasting. It doesn't have to be everlasting, because you could put a horse, retain a horse in trust. It will be used as long as it is alive. It will be used as long as it is alive. So meaning, not perishable, meaning that it will be used without perishing. So food cannot be used without perishing. You have to eat it. And the same thing, huh? A tree, yes, you can make a tree a waqf. So the fruits of the tree will be basically, you will designate the beneficiary of the fruits. Yes, anything that can be used without perishing, that yield some utility, benefit, usufruct, something without perishing. Okay, now can you make, he said currency. You cannot, because currency, the only way that you could use currency is to spend it, right? But there is a position that you could actually put some currency in, retained currency in trust for borrowers. So you could keep some like money in trust and say that this is for people to borrow. And you know they pay back, and then when they pay back, someone else could borrow, and so on. So that would also, even though in the Hanbali madhab it's not, but it would also meet the criteria of being having some benefit without perishing. The borrowing itself, the ability to use that money for some time and pay it back, is a benefit.
Who said that?
Hmm?
Which method?
I don't recall now the method. I'm quite sure there is that position because we looked into it before, but I don't recall the method. Yeah, it's outside the Hanbali method. وَلَا يَصِحُّ إِلَّا عَلَى بِرٍ أَوْ مَعْرُوفٍ that waqf, it can only be established for good / righteous ends, as I indicated in a report. مثل ما روي عن عمر رضي الله عنه أنه قال يا رسول الله إني أصبت مالا بخيبر لم أصب مالا قط هو أنفس عندي منه فما تأمرني فيه قال صلى الله عليه وسلم إن شئت حبست أصلها وتصدقت بها غير أنها لا يباع أصلها ولا يوهب ولا يورث قال فتصدق بها عمر في الفقراء وفي القربى وفي الرقاب وفي سبيل الله وابن السبيل والضيف لا جناح على من وليها أن يأكل منها أو يطعم صديقا غير متمول فيه. Okay, so now we will just mention the story of our Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, when he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and asked him, O Messenger of Allah, I acquired some property at Khaybar, which is dearer to me than anything I possess. So what do you instruct me to do with it? You know, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will not attain righteousness until you spend of that which you love the most. Not, you know, so this is the best, the most, the dearest thing to Umar radiallahu anhu of his wealth. So he wanted to use it for this, he wanted to give it or donate it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, if you wish, retain it and give its crop yield in charity, but it, you know, the endowed property itself should not be sold, gifted, or inherited. So Umar donated it for the crop yield to be divided among the poor relatives of his, among the poor relatives of his slaves to buy their freedom, those in the path of Allah for jihad efforts, wayfarers, and guests, wayfarers and guests. The individual responsible for it, which is the waqf manager, is not to be blamed for making use of a reasonable amount of it and feeding a friend from it without hoarding. غير متمول, without saving. So basically, the person, the waqf manager, will take whatever is sufficient for them. And they could also, like if someone passes by, like the waqf, you could give them some of the fruits, but you do not hoard, you do not keep. Okay, so why is he reporting this? Because he's saying that the Umar made the waqf for his relatives, the poor among his relatives, for the slaves to purchase them and to buy their freedom. In the path of Allah for jihad efforts, wayfarers and guests, all of these are pleasing, you know, to Allah. all of these causes are pleasing to Allah. Then the Shaykh said, وَيَصِحُّ الْوَقْفُ بِالْقَوْلِ وَالْفِعْلِ الدَّالِّ عَلَيْهِ مِثْلَ أَنْ يَبْنِيَ مَسْجِدًا وَيَأْذَنَ لِلنَّاسِ بِالصَّلَاةِ فِيهِ أَوْ سِقَايَةٍ وَيُشَرِّعُهَا لِلنَّاسِ. Waqf can be effected through a statement or an action that is indicative of it, such as building a mosque and allowing people to pray in it, or building restrooms or water fountains that are made accessible to the public. So aside from the Shafi'is, everybody would allow the would consider a non-verbal modality of sort of retaining property in trust, making a waqf, a non-verbal modality. They say that if you build a structure that looks like a masjid and allow the people to come into that structure and pray, you do not need a verbal statement to for the structure to be endowed. Once you've allowed the people, once you've built the structure that looks like a masjid, then you've allowed the people, or you built like a restroom in the street, and then you opened it for the public, or a water fountain, and you made it accessible for the public, you do not need any verbal modality for the waqf to be binding. That is enough to make the waqf binding. The Shafi'i said you do need to make the statement, I put this in trust, I retain this in trust. I am actually inclined to the Shafi'i position here, because it's sometimes it could get murky, like, you know, and sometimes also people could open their sometimes people could open their basement for others to pray in, or they could allow people to come in, but they don't really have the intention. So the Shafi'i position, you know, makes it a little bit more sort of clearer, less ambiguous, removes the ambiguity. So the waqf becomes binding when you say, I retain this in trust, or I make a waqf out of this. But the majority said nonverbal will be binding as well. So anyway. Then the Shaykh said, وَلَا يَجُوزُ بَيْعُهُ إِلَّا أَن تَتَعَطَّلَ مَنَافِعُهُ بِالْكُلِّيَّةِ فَيُبَاعُ وَيُشْتَرَى بِهِ مَا يَقُومُ مَقَامًا. It is not permissible to sell it, the waqf, unless the benefit that it provides has ended altogether. In that case, it can be sold and another should be bought to take its place. In that case, it could be sold and another could be bought to take its place. Does this apply to all awqaf? Yes, it applies to all awqaf. Does this apply to masajid? In the Hanbali madhab, it does apply to the masjid. So we know that the waqf of the masjid in particular, so it's like the most sacred type of waqf is the waqf of the masjid. So the masjid and you know that a masjid needs to be a waqf for the masjidiyya, the complete masjidiyya to be established, for the ruling of a masjid, all the rulings of the masjid to apply to a place, it needs to be a waqf, an endowment, because it needs to be freed from the ownership of people. And, you know, although the people will have the position, which is hiyaza, that they'll be able to manage it, but they will not be the ultimate owners. The masjid should be owned by, it should be freed from the owner of people. It goes back to the default, which is everything is owned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, but the waqf of the masjid, after you make a waqf, after you make a masjid waqf, or you make a building waqf for a masjid, can you ever sell it? The majority said, no, you can never sell it, even if it becomes in ruins. Like, no, you cannot sell it. Even if the community moves away, you cannot sell it. Even if there is not a single person making use of that masjid, you cannot sell it. And who said that? That is the Hanafis, except that Muhammad ibn Hassan, had a position similar to the Hanbalis, as far as I remember. But the Hanafis in the authorized view, the Malikis and the Shafi'is, you cannot sell it. Regardless, you cannot sell it. Now, the Hanbalis said, if the masjid, the Hanbalis also are saying, if you have a masjid that became, you cannot sell it as long as it is still usable as a masjid, and it still provides that sort of service to the community. Even if it falls apart, and to reconstruct it, it will be less than what it was in value, or you still reconstruct it. You still use it as a masjid. You're only allowed to sell it if it will, not that it will, it cannot be used anymore as a masjid, but if it is not suitable, because the Hanbalis also expressly stated that if it became too tight for the community, too crowded, because the community grew, they allow you in this case to buy another one, to sell it and buy another one. So it is not only that the use of it, that it will not be usable whatsoever, but if it became unsuitable for the community, let us say, the masjid, and we get those questions all the time because this is a very controversial issue. And people who know that we're Hanbali, they kind of like us because the three other mazahib would not allow them to sell it regardless. If the masjid, let us say they found toxic substance in the basement, for instance, And in order for them to get rid of it, they'll have to pay so much money. It will really hurt the community to pay this money. And they want to move to another place. You could move to another place. In the Hanbali madhab, you could move to another place if it gets too tight, if it becomes inaccessible, traffic, this, that, creating a lot of problems, parking, all of that stuff. It is not suitable for the community anymore. You could move it to a different place. Having said that, this has to be because this always creates so much controversy. This has to be done with complete transparency. And Imam Ahmad pointed out that the people who will be in charge of making that decision are Ahlul Masjid, that is, the neighbors of the masjid. That is, the people who frequent the masjid all the time. So this has to be done with transparency and has to be discussed. People need to agree on it and so on. Or the majority of the people, not all the people, because you cannot get all the people to agree on anything. So the majority of the people will need to agree on that decision to sell in this case. And this is one of the mufradat of the madhab, one of the peculiar positions of the madhab. Because the three other madhahab would not allow you to sell it if it is a waqf of a masjid. Now, if it is, if a waqf, for instance, if you have two waqfs, for instance, and the only way you could sustain one is by selling the other, can you do this? In the Hanbali madhab, yes. In the authorized view of the Hanbali madhab, if you have four awqaf, the intent is to keep all the awqaf. But if the only way to maintain three out of four is to sell the fourth, can you do this? Yes. You could sell the waqf to maintain the three others. In the Hanbali madhab, if you have a waqf for a masjid, like a building, like a rented property that produces, profit, and the prophet was designated, the masjid was designated as the beneficiary, and he have surplus. Can you take that money and give it to another masjid? Yes, you could. If you have a beneficiary, but there is surplus, but there is a possibility that there will be deficit at one point, then you keep the surplus, you save the surplus for that designated beneficiary. But if you're comfortable that the profit that is being made, there is like surplus, and then you could share the with similar cause, with a similar cause. So if the beneficiary of the waqf was a madrasa, a school, you could spend on another school from it. Similar cause. If it is a masjid, you could spend on another masjid from it. But if you have a lot of surplus and you have satisfied the similar causes in your neighborhood, in your community, where does the surplus go? In the Hanbali madhab, the default, basically, is the fuqara, the poor. They will always get everything. Because it was reported that the Aisha approved of Khulqan al-Kaaba, which is the worn-out curtains of the Kaaba, the coverings of the Kaaba. Aisha approved of selling them, their waqf. Aisha approved of selling them and donating their price to the poor. So the poor will be the default. You start with similar cause. You start with the designated beneficiary. You move to similar cause. And finally, the default that will take everything from everyone is the poor. Poor people. Al-fuqara. Okay? So, it is not permissible to sell the waqf unless the benefit that it provides has ended altogether. But we also explained that they are a little bit more flexible in the commentary. إذا ضاق المسجد على أهله, when the masjid becomes too tight, like when there are certain other reasons, the masjid becomes unsafe, it's a very old property, etc. And in order, you know, it will cause the community hardship to renovate, to remodel, then in this case they can buy another property, and that other property should serve the same cause. You're not going to go buy another property in Las Vegas, for instance. If it is the masjid is in Central Jersey, you'll try to find something nearby to serve the very community of the first masjid. Okay. Now the Sheikh said, والفرس الحبيس إذا لم يصلح للغزو بيع واشتري به ما يصلح للغزو والمسجد إذا لم ينتفع به في مكانه بيع ونقل إلى مكان ينتفع به. For instance, a war horse that is retained as a waqf but is no longer fit for battle can be sold, and another horse that can serve that end is purchased in its place. Or a share in a horse. If the price is not enough to buy another horse, you buy a share in a horse that will serve the same purpose. Similarly, if a mosque is no longer of benefit in its current location, it can be sold and relocated for a place where it will be of benefit. And the Hanbali cite a certain incident that happened during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu in al-Kufa, where the Bayt al-Mal was robbed in Kufa. That's the treasury, the Muslim treasury. And Umar advised that the masjid be moved next to Bayt al-Mal so that people would be coming in and out. So of the masjid and Bayt al-Mal, you know, so just like people would keep an eye on Bayt al-Mal because they're coming in and out of the masjid. So the masjid that was in Tamarin, a market called the Tamarin, people who used to sell dates, you know, so the date market, the masjid that was in the date market was moved to another place, which for the Hanbalis is good enough of a precedent to allow relocating masajid. And Sheikh Mohammed Taqi Uthmani, by the way, he felt that he was asked about, because you know, scholars are also flexible when it comes to, he is Hanafi for sure, but they asked him, some community here in America, they asked him, they said that they're moving or something of that nature, and he said that if people are moving, the Jaliyah is not having a use for the masjid anymore, you could use the Hanbali position in this case and sell the masjid to purchase another masjid in another area. You know, the money should be used for a similar purpose. وَيُرْجَعُ فِي الْوَقْفِ وَمَصْرِفِهِ وَشُرُوطِهِ وَتَرْتِيبِهِ وَإِدْخَالْ مَنْ شَاءَ بِصِفَةٍ أَوْ إِخْرَاجِهِ بِهَا وَكَذَلِكَ النَّاظِرِ فِيهِ وَالنَّفَقَةِ عَلَيْهِ إلى لفظ الواقف فلو وقف على ولد فلان ثم على المساكين كان الذكر والأنثى بالسوية إلا أن يفضل بعضهم على بعض فإذا لم يبق منهم أحد رجع على المساكين. With regard to the practical administration of a waqf, such as its expenditures, its stipulations, how it is organized, what types of people are included or excluded as potential beneficiaries, its manager and his or her compensation, the determining factors that must be referred back to are the stipulations made by the endower. They say that here, شرط الواقف كشرط الشارع. The conditions, stipulations of the waqf have the power of the conditions of the shara, the legislator, you know, divine. Unless they violate the divine laws. Okay. For example, if a waqf is stipulated to be endowed to the children of a certain person and then to the needy, then there would be no differentiation made between the male and female unless some sort of preference had been stipulated. Furthermore, only when none of the children of the specified person remained would any needy person receive assistance from the waqf. So the waqf has so much power. It is his property. So whatever stipulations the waqf makes, unless those stipulations are in conflict with the divine. So, you know, you cannot make a waqf on a nightclub, you know, for a nightclub. You know, you can't make the beneficiary of your waqf a particular group of sinners, for instance. But you could make a sinner the beneficiary of the waqf. But you cannot designate a particular group of sinners as the beneficiaries of your waqf. Could you make a waqf, for instance, for a church? No. Could you give the church a property and tell them anyone who comes by, stops by, feed them from this property? Yes. Because here, feeding people, whether they are Muslim or not Muslim, is a good deed. So, and in this case, you're making the waqf for the feeding of people who pass by. كل من مر على الكنيسة. So this is a waqf for everyone who passes by the church. To basically, if you make like an orchard, for instance, to take from that orchard. Now, if you make a waqf, he said here, so your conditions. Now, if you make a condition that is also unrealistic, that will basically, we have to protect the cause of the waqf. So if you say that this waqf should never be sold, well, that's the default. The waqf should never be sold. If you add this as a condition, and we needed to sell it afterwards, we will invalidate your condition. So if you say that this masjid should never be sold, but it was determined afterwards, well, the masjid should not be sold anyway. But you added, like, to emphasis, you know, should never be sold. We came at one point, and we had to relocate the masjid for one of the purposes that we've mentioned before that would make it lawful, Hanbali-wise, to relocate the masjid. We will invalidate because we want to protect the cause, the purpose. And we want to respect your conditions as much as we can, unless they violate the divine instruction or they violate the cause of the waqf itself. Then we will not respect the condition then. You could make a waqf for your children and you do not need to be fair, but it will be between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the waqf here is not made, you do not need to be fair in this. No, you need to be fair. I'm saying that you do not need to you not need to give them equal shares. And you do not need to give the male twice the female. You do not need any. You could, basically, you have like younger children. You have disabled children. You have children that are just incompetent. Some people are. You know, and you're just afraid for them. Then you could give them a little bit more. Could make a waqf for them, and you give them a little bit more. Now, you will be, you will have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Because if you are, if you're being unfair, you know, you do not want to respect the laws of inheritance, and you're being unfair, or you, it's just out of resentment of the laws of inheritance or just unfairness or something of that nature, and you take all of your money and you put it in a waqf and you distribute it in whichever way you please without justification, then you will answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the waqf is, will be valid. In this dunya, the waqf will be valid. So you take, if you take like a property and you say that this will be waqf, the beneficiaries will be my children. When you say the beneficiaries are my children, the male will take the same like the female, because that is not inheritance now. And to be just, fair or just to your children, in the dunya, the male is like the female. It's not like the inheritance thing where it's 2-to-1. So it will be divided between your children, the male the female. Keep in mind that if you want your descendants to be beneficiaries, you want to specify that you want all of your children, descendants, to be beneficiaries, whether they are the children of your boys or girls. Because if you don't do this, then the girls of the first generation only will get, will be beneficiaries. But the descendants of the girls will not be beneficiaries. But if you want to say for all of my descendants, that's all of my offspring, whether they are children of males or females, whether they are connected to me through males or females, then the waqf, the beneficiaries, will be all of your offspring, regardless of their connection to you, whether it was through your sons or daughters, or their sons or daughters, and so on. You could say, you could designate the beneficiaries layer after layer. You could say, this waqf will go to Zayd, and after Zayd, it will go to the masjid. It will not be a waqf of a masjid, but it will go for the benefit of the masjid. You know? And after the masjid, the beneficiary will be the poor. We will have to follow your order. We will have to follow your order. If one was not an acceptable waqf, like you say, for instance, after this will be for Sayyidina Jibreel, we will skip. If the last one was not someone who can be mawquf alayh, not someone who can be a beneficiary, what do we do? The beneficiaries will be your children. So you said the waqf, it will go to Zayd, it will go to the masjid, and then it will go to Sayyidina Jibreel, alayhi salam. We will make Zayd the first beneficiary. We will make the masjid for the designated period that you said, it will be for the masjid, the second beneficiary. And then if the last one is munqata, the last one is not an appropriate waqf, then it will go to your descendants. Then he said, ومتى كان الوقف على من يمكن حصرهم لازم استيعابهم به والسوية والتسوية بينهم إذا لم يفضل بعضهم وإن لم يمكن حصرهم جاز تفضيل بعضهم على بعض وتخصيص واحد منهم. If waqf is allotted to a certain group of recipients or beneficiaries who can be all served or reached by the waqf, then distributing an equal portion to each one of them is mandatory unless some of them were expressly preferred by the stipulations of the waqf. If serving or reaching all of them is impossible, then preferring some of them over others is permissible, as is allotting it to one of them in particular. So if you make, you know, the beneficiaries of the waqf, you designate your offspring as the beneficiaries of the waqf, and then your offspring will be like, let's say, one of the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum. Let's say Ali radhiyallahu anhu designated his offspring to be the beneficiaries of the waqf. And three generations down, his offspring were 125 people. You could distribute it among the 125 people. 20 generations down, his offspring were 2.6 million people. You can't really distribute it. Then in this case, you'll give it to some of them. You'll give it to some of them. If you make the beneficiaries of the waqf the poor, then in this case, you will have to, the manager of the waqf will have the right to give it to some of them, or even one of them. If you make the beneficiaries of the waqf freeing the captives, freeing the slaves, the beneficiaries of the waqf, during those times, there's so many of them. So the manager of the waqf will determine who would be the beneficiary, because you just can't distribute it among all of them. And that's obvious, that's clear, it makes sense. I think we have to finish now.